55 past the hour, sponsored by Young Express. If you're looking for a new gig or new career field, check them out today at youngexpress.com. See Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Time for some more local sports content. Haven't talked Bucks basketball in a while. Joining us now is Ty Windisch from, of course, the Eurostep podcast. And seemingly, Ty, doing a bunch of other podcasts. He does Brewers. He does Packers. He's everywhere. But for this interview, let's stick to the Bucks and what's going on with Team Greece involving Giannis and Thanasis. I'll be honest, initial thought, I didn't like Giannis playing over there, but I knew you couldn't say no. Had to let him do what he wanted to do. And to this point, he has been destroying the competition.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I certainly understand, you know, the injury concern of not wanting Giannis to go over there, but I think ultimately, especially after the Chet Holmgren thing and that Pro-Am in Seattle and the crossover league, you know, it's scary to think about, especially certainly a player like Giannis getting injured. But I think the reality is these guys are going to be playing basketball anyway, maybe not as competitive as what we're seeing Giannis take part in. But there's no real way to 100% insulate from the offseason injuries. But yeah, Giannis has been dominant. You know, some of these games you would kind of expect, like he's played Belgium, he's played, I think, Poland. And yeah, of course, Giannis is going to dominate some of those teams. But also we got to see him go up against Nikola Jokic and a very strong Serbian team, and he dominated that game too. The Serbian team ends up winning in overtime. I think that's more due to the Serbian pieces around Jokic playing a bit better than the Greek team did around Giannis and Team Greece dealing with some injuries. But he has been dominant, and that's, you know, it shouldn't be surprising to anyone who's just watching Giannis. But it's much better than it used to be, I'll say, with him over there. The Greek team, I think, certainly has embraced making their whole team built around Giannis as the Bucks have, and making him the focal point, which was not always or really ever the case before this time for him playing over there. So they split the World Cup qualifier games, so Greece will have to qualify without Giannis over a couple of windows that will take place during the NBA season, the upcoming season. So we may see more Giannis and Team Greece next summer for the FIBA World Cup. And now we've got Eurobasket coming up, which is another tournament where Greece will look to win and dethrone Slovenia, the most recent champion. We'll have to go through Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, some great players taking part this year.
You know, Ty, for those that aren't watching these and aren't going through the hoops to try and find the streaming services and so forth to try and watch Team Greece play, how much different is Team Greece using Giannis compared to how the Bucks use Giannis and how Budenholzer uses him?
You know, it's getting to be closer than it ever was. There were too many times in previous years with Team Greece where Giannis was more of an afterthought, you know, maybe cleaning up offensive rebounds or something like that. Now, you know, the usual possession for Team Greece is either Giannis is involved right away in some sort of an action, usually a pick and roll. Nick Kalaitis, certainly not a perfect player, but really a gifted passer, and he's done some magic with both Giannis. All the Antetokounmpos, there's three bros on the team right now. Kostas is injured. Hopefully we'll be back soon playing center. And then Thanasis as well, the other buck on the team. And Nick Kalaitis has really done a good job involving those guys in pick and rolls. But, you know, sometimes there'll be a side action not involving Giannis. Typically, the way the possessions go is either Giannis gets the ball right away, Greece generates a really good shot for someone else, or things slow down and the ball just gets kicked back to Giannis, like at the top of the key, and they let him work. He's been getting a lot of practice shooting threes, a shorter three in European play, of course, a lot of good mid-rangers. So, you know, he's getting to dominate possessions largely the same way, I would say, and getting to spread the ball a little bit himself. But really, he is involved either primarily or secondarily. It feels like on most possessions where he's on the floor, unless Greece is able to open up a good shot for somebody else, which, you know, is the way it should be when you have a player the caliber of Giannis Antetokounmpo on the team.
Let's talk about his brother Thanasis, who, you know, with the Bucks, I've said this before, look, if he wasn't Giannis's brother, he wouldn't be on this team probably, right? I don't know where he would be in the league, but I don't know if he's on this roster. But now with Team Greece, obviously, you know, that role expands a little bit. How has he looked to this point?
You know, a lot of the time I'd say he looks like kind of typical Thanasis, wearing a lot of energy, a lot of defensive energy. And I think really, you know, it looked like Serbia was going to pull away from Greece. And if I reference that game a lot, it's because that was the game so far that Team Greece has played. I think it's fun to watch Giannis anyway, but going up against a high-powered team like Serbia is a lot of fun.
Better competition,
but
right?
Thanasis, Exactly. But Thanasis made a big impact in that game, I would say. His defensive intensity, trying to body up Jokic. You know, Team Greece really ran out of big men besides Giannis and Thanasis. When Kostas got hurt, Yorgos Papayannis, who was actually rumored to potentially sign with the Bucks, but then they signed Serge Ibaka instead to that one of those roster spots. He's been injured and has not played yet. They're hopeful he'll be back this week. But Thanasis had to play some center, had to work on Jokic a little bit. And really, I'd say his hustle and his defensive energy and penchant for fouling all showed up as expected. I will say he's been shooting more threes, pretty much all corner threes. And I think he made 40% of his shots, 2 for 5 against Serbia, 2 for 4 against Belgium. So interesting to see Thanasis work on the range. And I do think if he ever is going to play a real role for the Bucks, you know, obviously probably a minor role, but still, being able to make corner threes would help a lot there, because we do know Thanasis is a great athlete, a good, aggressive defensive player. You know, I think there's a possibility still that he eventually carved out some sort of a role for the Bucks, but it won't be easy given this roster is pretty loaded right now.
Yeah, it's very loaded. And you look at this NBA offseason, what's happened, obviously, with this whole Brooklyn Nets situation. Everybody thought it was going to get blown up. And instead, Durant returns, Kyrie Irving returns, Ben Simmons is still there. And everybody talks about, well, you know, this whole thing with Durant and Kyrie maybe was the issue why Durant wanted to leave and Kyrie wanted to leave at one point. I've heard many people say these dudes may just not want to play with Ben Simmons tie. I think to me, looking, you know, from this, from the outside perspective, that's what it appears, where they dealt with him in the playoffs last year. All of a sudden, you know, he can't play. He's not willing enough to go out there. He's not right, whatever. I think that really irritated both of them, and they probably looked at this and go, we don't really want to deal with this dude again, because both of them came out and said after the fact that they'd be willing to play together somewhere else. It just wasn't we're going to be with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, obviously, neither one of them got the trade request that they wanted, and they're stuck there now. But I think most of this had to do with Ben Simmons more than anything else.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Simmons specifically or just a more general sense of whether it's the coach, the management, the current roster. You know, maybe those guys look at Brooklyn and don't see a fit for them to go win a championship together, which apparently is still what they want to do. And who knows how this situation could still evolve. I don't know if I would say it's totally settled, just because for now they put out a statement with the Nets logo and KD's media company's logo on it. But I think, you know, Ben Simmons is maybe, you know, more of a symptom than a cause of the Nets. But you look at it, you know, that's their James Harden return. You know, they got a player, a former MVP that KD and Kyrie really wanted to get. The Nets go and get him. That whole thing flames out because of injuries and because of, you know, Harden getting basically sick of dealing with Kyrie and the instability of the Nets. So he gets himself out of there. And now you get back Ben Simmons, who has yet to play for Brooklyn and apparently left the group chat. Who knows what's going on there? But I just think, you know, there's so many ifs on that Nets roster. And KD and Kyrie are two big ifs themselves. But whether it's like the health of Joe Harris, the health of Ben Simmons, which is far from resolved, a lot of their roster is aging. They don't have a true big man. You know, I think not a totally clean roster fit around KD and Kyrie. I don't know how much excitement there is from those stars about that team they've got in Brooklyn. I still think it could come together and that could be a dangerous team, but we said the same last year and they got slipped out of the playoffs. So I think at this point, we're going to need to see Brooklyn sustain some normalcy, some sustained winning, which we really have not seen since early last season.
You know, it's interesting. You look at the Eastern Conference, and I think Detroit got better through the draft. I think, you know, next couple of years, they may be more competitive. Orlando's trying the best they can to kind of put that thing together down there with John Hammond. But at the top of the Eastern Conference, in your opinion, is it still Boston, Miami, Milwaukee? Is it those three? Or do you have somebody else maybe creeping into that top three?
You know, I think Philly's doing a pretty convincing job to sneak into that top three at the expense of Miami. But again, it's Philly. I've just got to see it. You know, they haven't made the conference finals, I believe, since 2001. The same distance the Bucks had until they started to, you know, win playoff series again. So I still am going to need to see it, but I think Philly didn't get better at a rate that alarms me as a Bucks proponent, but I do think that they look like a well-rounded team. Another year now of Harden and Embiid, you know, they should be pretty competitive, and I think they have overall more talent than Miami, who really, you know, it's all going to depend for them, I think, on health and how Kyle Lowry looks, but that's an aging group that did not get Kevin Durant so far. We'll see if they get Donovan Mitchell and how much that would cost for the Heat. But, you know, I think they still deserve the benefit of the doubt because they continue to win. But I do think even folks in Miami are feeling a little rudderless for the first time in a while because they really, you know, went out a little sad. Again, they made the conference finals, but they were certainly on the easier side of the bracket and were not able to beat Boston there despite having a good shot to. And I don't know if their prospects look better this coming year as Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry get older. So I like Philly there. I think Boston's going to be quite good. I still would favor the Bucks, but certainly they're going to have to beat some darn good teams, if not great teams, to make it back to the finals. But, you know, I think they can do that if Milwaukee can stay healthy, given what we saw the last time Giannis, Drew, and Chris made it through a postseason together.
What's your biggest question mark right now for this Bucks team heading into the season? Because obviously the playoffs happened. You have no Chris Middleton. So you really don't know what that would have done. Had Middleton been there, would they have been able to get on a run and still win this thing at the end of the day had they been healthy? So maybe you don't have a big question. But if you do, what is it right now as you get closer to training camp starting at the end of September?
Yeah, I mean, let's just put health to the side. Cause I think it's true for every team to a various extent. But certainly they're going to have to get healthy. You know, you need to get Chris back. Want to incorporate Joe Ingles and see how he looks. But we'll just assume that, you know, again, that's every team. Any team that loses one of their three best players is going to have a hard time winning in the playoffs. I would say my big question is, what is the rotation like when they're healthy? Because we talked about the depth. You know, it's a two-sided sword, right? Because there's going to be some tough decisions. I don't think Bud's going to play a 14-man rotation or whatever that some people...
We hope not.
But, you know, we hope, yeah. But it is going to be difficult. Like, does Javon Carter play? Does George Hill play? When they're all healthy, which of the wings? You know, Marjon Beauchamp and Joe Ingles coming in. You still got Wes Matthews, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis is here. Does Serge Ibaka play on a regular basis, or is he matchup dependent? So I really think the big question for me is not, are they talented enough? It's how do these pieces fit and turn into a rotation that by playoff time is ready to be, you know, a tight 7-8-man group. Which players emerge, which players get the nod from Bud? Can Javon Carter stay in the rotation this time, be that backup point guard? How does George Hill look? So really, I think it's exciting, but there's just so many different ways I can see the rotation going that I can't wait to see how that evolves as this group plays games, gets guys healthy, hopefully doesn't lose anyone else, and then what decisions are made. So I think it's not one we'll have an answer to the first month of the season, but it'll just be something that we track all year in terms of who is Bud gravitating toward and who's doing the most with their minutes.
I don't like the backup point guard position at all. There's no way I would have kept George Hill for another year. That's for sure. And I'm not on the Javon Carter bandwagon as everybody else is. It feels to me like, okay, he got hot for a little while. Long-term though, if you give him a full course of a season, is this really going to continue his ability to shoot the three and so forth? I guess I'm just not there. For me, my biggest question going into this thing is definitely that backup point guard position behind Drew Holiday. Follow Ty Windisch. Check out all of his fun podcasts at Ty Windisch. Not only do you do the Eurostep podcast with the Bucks, but you're also dabbling into the other teams as well, right, Ty?
Yeah, we got Cruising for a Bruising covering the Milwaukee Brewers and now Talk of the Tundra, our new Green Bay Packers podcast. So, you know, we have a crew. We have six of us now. So people sticking to their sports a little bit, but we also shuffle around and like to dive into and talk about all the Wisconsin sports. So super excited to do more of that, especially, you know, now that outside of Giannis over there and Mamu in Greece, not that much going on with the Bucks. So fun to dive into some Packers football. And, you know, it's been a little less fun lately for the Brewers baseball, but still fun overall to cover the team.
No doubt. And again, all three teams, essentially playoff teams year to year. We'll see if the Brewers make it this year. But for the most part, we've had relatively good success with all three pro teams. And being 46, I can tell you that has not always been the case, Ty Windisch. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windisch. Ty, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me much.
There he is, Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast on the 55 past the hour, always brought to you by Young Express. Check him out online at jungexpress.com if you're looking for a new career or a new job. Those are the guys you want to go work for, John Young and his crew. Again, every 55 past the hour on 1250 AM, The Fan, you will hear a couple minutes, a little teaser interview, and then you'll be able to go to 1250amthefan.com or your Odyssey app to hear the remainder of the interview. And tell your friends, we're still doing local sports coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.